I was just realizing that I think the thing that's kind of most on my heart this morning is the same thing that was most on my heart the last time I shared, which doesn't surprise me, but it doesn't really bother me either too much. I guess I want to read a couple verses and then. I just have some like loose thoughts in my head, kind of still about the will of God and our clinging to it or abandoning it is really what's on my heart. I feel like I have a desire. I really have a growing desire. I hope it keeps growing and gets very strong in me, but I have a desire to help people, I think. And yet I feel like my understanding of what it means to help people or how people are really helped is narrowing. In other words, it's becoming I see one real thing that seems to be at the heart of what it really means to help somebody. And the reason that I'm going to read this verse is because I think it's a couple of verses here because I think it's exactly what, or at least a measure of what was on Jesus's mind when he appeared to Paul, Saul Paul, and gave him his more or less his commission, what he was going to be doing when he said, "I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God." And then a little bit later, a couple of verses down, he says, well, there he was reading 19. "Therefore, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but declared first to those in Damascus and in Jerusalem and throughout all the region of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent, turn to God, and do works befitting repentance. For these reasons, the Jews seized me in the temple and tried to kill me. Therefore, having obtained help from God, to this day I stand witnessing both the small and great, saying no other thing than those which the prophets and Moses said would come, that the Christ would suffer, that he would be the first to rise from the dead and would proclaim light. That Christ would suffer, he would be the first to rise from the dead and would proclaim light to the Jewish people and to the Gentiles. And I just, for me, more and more, I probably would have said the same thing, honestly, 10 years ago, but I feel like it just gets more real and more deeply rooted in me and my heart, as the years go by, that specifically one thing, that the only way to actually have something good, truly good, lastingly good, fruitfully good come of our lives is to learn how to be turned to the light. And not to be turned to the light so that it shows us a doctrine, not to be turned to the light so that it just makes us decide to be Christians. But to actually be turned to the light and the power of God in the heart, and to remain in that turned position at all times. If what I say this morning, or what I've ever said to you in any meeting, or any book you read, or any scripture you read, the whole Bible, if the effect, and this is kind of like the bottom line, if the effect of it Isn't when you get done reading, or you get done listening, or while you're reading, or while you're listening, or while you're praying, or whatever you're doing, if the effect of it isn't to cause you to turn your heart more seriously, more heartfelt, more constantly, more continually, to the light of Christ in your own heart, the power of God that works in your own heart, then there will be no true help that you'll experience. And the reason for that is really simple. The reason for that is that help is only found in the will of God and by following the will of God as a continual reality. Because when most people think about the will of God, they just think about really very general, vague things. He wants me to be a Christian. He wants me to believe these doctrines. He wants me to be good. He wants me to be not be bad. When I talk about the will of God, and I believe when the scripture talks about the will of God, it's talking about a continuing, like we talked about last time, now that I do remember it, we talked about like a river. It's a continual flowing thing that goes in a very specific direction. It's something that's always moving. It's always going, it's always available. It's always there when you're making decisions, when you're making plans, when you're desiring things, when you're feeling lazy or apathetic, when you're about to make it an important decision or make a tiny little decision. It's there when you're eating, it's there when you're sleeping, it's there when you're conversing, it's there when you're relating with the world, it's there when you're relating with your friends and your family. It's there. It's always there. And it's a spirit that goes in one direction. It's a power that pulls in one direction, and where it pulls you to is goodness. Where it pulls you to is the only way, the only possible way that you're ever going to experience anything that's good in your life. And the only possible way that you have of ever getting to that goodness, or growing in that goodness, or experiencing an increase of that goodness, is by turning to that light, turning to God, and yielding to that light or power that works within you all the time. And this is exactly what I talked about last time. Now it's all coming back to me. It's just really fresh on my heart. And it's just every way. Life is full. What let me take a step back. What are you? You are, in a sense, you could say you're a will. That's what you are. You're a will that has a soul that can experience a bunch of things, and then a body around it that can experience a bunch of other things. But like really at the heart of it, what you are is a will. And what you can do today is you can will. You can yield your will and find your will yielded to the one who wills and works within you towards goodness and towards life and towards truth and towards purpose and towards righteousness and purity and innocence and love. You can yield your will in that way. That's what you can do today. Or you can, in so many multitudes of different ways and multitudes of different decisions, you can yield your will to yourself, to your own appetites, your own desires. You can turn from the will of God and break off from the will of God and go your own way in thousands of little ways. And all that's going to happen today, I just see this with more and more clarity. All that's going to happen today is that you're going to be presented with hundreds or thousands of little ways to turn to the light, or to turn away from it, to love the light, or to love yourself instead of the light, to love the power of God, or to love the power of Satan, or the power of darkness that works in fallen flesh. And that's why that's why Jesus said to Paul, I'm sending you to the Gentiles. I'm going to deliver you from the Jewish people. I'm going to send you to the Gentiles, and I'm not going to send you to them so that you establish a new religion. I'm not going to send you to them so that you tell them all the right doctrines, although there was a lot of right doctrines that he told them, and those doctrines have their place and their relevance. But that's not the first thing that Paul was told to do. That's not the primary thing that Paul was told to do. He was told to turn them, to teach them how to live in a turned way, to how to walk in with a heart that is turned from something and to something else, teaching them how to live the day that they were in, not just believe that Jesus was light, but to turn to Jesus who is light, not just believe that Jesus is power, but to turn to that power and from another power, and to learn to live that way. And so he wasn't disobedient to the heavenly vision, but he went around all over, first to those in Damascus and then Jerusalem, throughout all the region of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, telling them that they should repent and turn to God. And he told them that who was this Christ? He was the one who was prophesied through all the prophets and all of Moses. He was going to come, he was going to suffer, and then he was going to be the first to rise from the dead and proclaim light. He was going to proclaim light. He wasn't just going to proclaim I don't know, the Romans Road or the four steps to salvation or the 10 basic things you have to believe to be in the Christian religion. He was going to proclaim light. It makes me think of these verses of 1 John. This is the message that we have heard from him. Who? From the word of life is what it says here. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. And the life was manifest. We have seen and we bear witness and declare to you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifest to us. And this is the message that we've heard from him. There's so many things that are proclaimed as the message. But this is what John says is the message that we have heard from him and declare to you. Here it is. God is light. God is light. In him is no darkness at all, and you need to walk in that light, is what he goes on to say in the next three or four verses. You need to walk in the light as he is in the light. Doesn't say you just need to believe in the light or believe that Christ is the light or know that Christ is a light or called himself the light of the world. He says you need to walk in that light. And the reason that that's so important is because we're always walking in something. Time goes by, minutes go by, decisions go by. Little turnings and bendings of our heart and our thoughts and our wills, little choices are made throughout days, and time goes by, and we're walking in something and yielding to something. And choosing something and loving something and cultivating something in ourselves. And I say all that because I've been thinking, like I said in the very beginning, I've been thinking about how to help people. And these days, I just really see it. I see it. I keep saying the same things over and over again. I see it with I don't know, it's almost like a heavy, not heavy in a bad sense, but heavy in a weighty sense. Clarity that I could tell you if I knew like the most profound truths in the world. I could send, if I could, send an angel to speak with you. I could cause Christ to come down and speak words to you. I could explain every mystery of the Bible to you. And if the net result of those things, we could meet, we meet in silence, we could meet with words, we could meet with songs, we could meet without songs, we could meet every day of the week. We could talk about Christians, we could talk about Quakers, we could talk about any Christians that have ever lived, and we could marvel at their patience and marvel at their works and marvel at their discipline and marvel at their evangelism. We could do all of that. But if at the end of the day, No, at the end of the minute, if the net result of that isn't a heart that is actually more turned, more looking, more yielding, more submitting, more reaching and groping after the will of God, so that today, so that to the hour, the next hour, the next 2 hours, the next 5 hours, the next 5 minutes is a looking and leaning into that will of God, then I just know it. There's no help. There's no real help. Because help, again, I'm just going to say it. Help is the will of God. Help is in the will of God. It is the will of God. If you think that there's something apart from the will of God that's going to help you, you're wrong. If you think that there's something apart from the will of God that's going to deal with your problems, you're wrong. If you think that there's something apart from the will of God, distinct from the will of God, that's truly going to help you with your pains and your fears and your anger and your lust and everything else that you struggle with, or that ruins your life or ruins your mind or ruins your family or ruins your thoughts, you're wrong. There's just one thing, and it's the will of God, and it's perfect. And everyone says it's perfect. I just need to think of a verse here. Romans 12. We oftentimes talk about the first part of this verse, but I where he says, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, three things, good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Good, acceptable, and perfect. We have to stop thinking about it. Everything that is only has to do with big decisions that we make, you know, or only has to do with big religious beliefs that we decide to believe in or not believe in, or just has to do with jobs or who we marry. It does touch all those things, obviously. But it touches everything, and it's always there. And here it's going to be right there after this meeting when you're in a conversation. You know, there it is. It's going to be there. What's going to be there? Light is going to be there. Light that shows you the will of God and how to follow, how to lean into it and go towards it. Do you know what else is going to be there? Darkness is going to be there. And the Lord sets before you every minute and every day, life and death, a blessing and a curse. And the one thing, one of the things that William Law says is people aren't good because some people do figure out how to do good things, and other people or desire to do good things, and so other people are bad because they desire to do bad things. It's not really like that. Some people are good because they yield to the will of God, and other people are bad because they resist it. And that's because the will of God is an always present thing. It's an always present thing that meets you where you are and has something to say in your heart. If you just would learn to look and not run constantly, just constantly in your own words, in your own time, in your own thoughts, in your own ways. If life is about that, if your life is a continual reaction to the things that are being thrown at you, then you are going to choose self and every one of those things, and you're going to wonder. Then a week's going to go by, and a month's going to go by, and you're going to wonder why God feels distant and kind of irrelevant. And you should be maybe close to Him, but you're not. He feels far away, and other things seem so much bigger and so much more important. And then a year goes by, and things are starting to break and crumble around you. Relationships aren't as good. There's not as much reality. There's mistrust. There's offense. There's hurt feelings. There's fears. There's insecurities, and you're going to wonder why, and you're going to want to blame somebody. You're going to want to blame something, but here's the only thing to blame: a departure from the will of God. That's it. That's all there is to blame. Because even if everything was going wrong and you were walking in the will of God, you would have peace. You'd have life. You'd have joy. You'd have an inward sense of purpose. You'd have the comfort of the Holy Spirit, at least to a great degree. Maybe not removing all the outward difficulties, but at least giving you the peace of a conscience that's good and cleansed before God, if nothing else, if not also other comforts and benefits of having a life that is yielded to the will of God.
And then another year goes by, and then 5 years goes by, and if you're learning Christianity and you're learning Bible and you're learning whatever, and you're stopping certain things and doing other things, but your heart isn't continually walking and yielding to the will of God. I'm telling you, I just have seen it so many times now. There is a steady departure from goodness, from what is good, acceptable, and perfect. Minute by minute, hour by hour, day by day, week by week, month by month, departure in little ways. And then you get to a place, people get to a place and they say, how did I get here? Something's wrong. Something's painful. Something's a disaster. It shouldn't be like this. It shouldn't feel like this. How did I get into this place in this relationship? How did I get in this place with my life? How did I get in this place with my lusts? How did I get in this place with my anger? How did I get in this place with my self-pity? How did I get in this place with oh, I don't know, whatever. Why do I think so much about what I'm not and hurt so much about everything that's going on in me and around me? I really, truly, with all my heart, believe that there's a road that leads to that place, and that road is 100,000 little departures from the will of God. And there's also a road that leads to a totally different place. But it means walking in the light. It means being turned. It means not just believing in it, not just believing that it's true, not just believing that it's right. It means actually having a life that's careful to stay looking at it. And I know this does not come naturally to man. Man begins life and is encouraged by others, and sadly is encouraged by teachers and adults to grab life by both hands and just make it your slave, or make it your whatever, I don't know the word, like just make it happen, make your dream happen, you know, grab it and don't let anything stop your will. Isn't that the great slogan of our day? You know, like, make your dreams, don't let anything get in your way. You can be whatever you want, you can do whatever you want. Look at those same people. Watch their lives. See if their hearts have peace, life, truth, happiness, real righteousness, innocence, purity, love. See if they really love anybody besides their own dreams and themselves. Watch them. Or if you're smarter than me, don't watch them and just decide right now you're going to live totally different. Because that goes in such a terrible direction in one way or another. Whatever your natural propensities are, when you bend to them, they grow. When you yield to them, whatever you got from your parents, from your grandparents, whatever natural tendencies mixed with your own ways that you've fed it or given yourself to it in this world, you just that's what's going to grow in you. And man, it leads to a place where the only way out of that is repenting and turning to God and walking a long journey out of a deep pit that we've dug for ourselves. And that's so much harder when our life has become a habit of self-seeking. When our life has become a knee-jerk reaction to all kinds of things, and every way we respond is always with immediately, boom, self comes out. Boom, self comes out. Here's the conversation. Boom, self comes out. I can say something funny. I can say something smart. I can make people remember me. Or boom, here comes anger. Here comes resentment. I'm going to hold it for a minute. I'm going to hold it. And then I'm going to wait until someone else is around and it's not that person. I'm going to whisper my complaints and make that person not like that person, because I don't like that person. I don't want them to like him either. I want to be on this person's team against that person. Boom. There it is. Self. You know, here comes an appetite. I'm going to feed it. I'm going to love it. I'm going to choose it. I'm not going to think about what it's going to do to me, or how it disappointed me last time, or how it hurts people around me for me to obey it or give into it. I'm not going to think about that. Just, boom, I'm just going to do it. Why? Because I feel it. I feel it pulling. And I like to have my feelings pacified and pleased. And that's just what life is. For so many people, and Christians do it, and they believe in God, and atheists do it, and they don't believe in God, but everyone does it, and their lives are just, it's what I'm trying to tell you guys. They're just little slow departures, little every day, every week, every month, departures from this perfect, acceptable, and good will of God. Just a little bit at a time. Until things hurt so bad that you doubt the gospel, you don't feel like it's relevant, it's not working, things are hurting. You're trying to find new things to believe in, you're reading new books because things are bad. There's got to be something I'm not doing, it's got to be something I don't understand, there's got to be a theology I'm not embracing, it's got to be a conference I have to go to, a leader I haven't heard to, a YouTube video I haven't seen, something that's going to help me. Ch-ch-ch-ch-ch. Meanwhile, you're going this way. And very few of those things, unfortunately, actually points you back to a continual, persistent, constant, humble, heartfelt submission and turning to the one thing that Paul was sent us to learn how to do, which was to turn from darkness in us today, right now, to light in us, to turn from darkness to light. To turn from a power in us that we feel to another power. What do you mean power? I mean the power of lust, the power of anger, the power of darkness that works on us, all things that are contrary. What do you mean power? I mean it has power. I mean it literally pulls. It has its own life or energy in you. You feel it. If it didn't have power, you wouldn't follow it. You wouldn't yield to it. It wouldn't tempt you. It wouldn't pull you, attract you. It's because it has power that it does these things in you. The light has power too. It pulls, it attracts, it invites, it draws. And the thing that Paul was sent to do was to turn from one power to another, from darkness to light. Everyone thinks that darkness is something really bad out there, but it's something really bad right here. And it's something that's always there. And the turning from it and the turning to the light is really the heart of what it means to be a Christian. Because a Christian is someone that follows Christ. And Christ isn't walking as a man right now, but he is appearing as a light in the heart. And he's continually present. He said, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. Where is he? He tells us he's the one knocking, he's the one calling, he's the one trying to find entrance in our hearts. And I know we all know these things. I know we all know them as facts. I'm just trying to maybe just push one more time, push a little harder with the hopes that no one will hear anything I say this morning and then say, oh, that was good, or that was interesting, or that's it clears up that verse for me, and then walk away without having their heart more turned, more reaching, more desirous to follow a living Christ in a living way today. I've tried to help people in my life, and I've done it with wrong motives a lot of my life. I hope I have a little bit better motives now. I've tried to help people a long time. I think about my early days in Kansas City when I was just supposedly trying to help people and doing the homeless ministry and deliverance ministry and all kinds of stuff like that. And nothing that I said had anything to do with what I'm telling you today. I wish it did. I don't know that anyone would have listened to me, but at least I would have said something I think that's actually important. Turn to God. Turn to God and do works that are, how do you say that? In keeping with repentance or not. It's not how it says it. Turn to God and do works befitting repentance. Befitting. What are works befitting repentance? They're works that manifest that you have turned. That's all. They're works that demonstrate to anyone and everyone that you're walking in a different direction, that you're walking now in the light, that you have a new teacher, a new master, a new guide, and everything.
A new guide in this conversation, a new guide in this action, a new guide when you're driving to work, a new guide when you're on your phone, a new guide when you're sitting in front of your computer, a new guide when you're laying awake at night and no one's watching, a new guide all the time. You got a new guide. Works befitting repentance, works manifesting a change of direction and course. And that is where help is found. And apart from that help, I just don't know any other help anymore. I'm not opposed at all to helping people outwardly. In fact, I'd love to do it. I try to do it a lot, as much as I can. But I just find that the more, even if I'm helping people outwardly, if they're not inwardly turned to the will of God, turned to that light, their life still keeps going that way. And then you help them again, and then you help them again, and then you help them again, and then darkness just overwhelms them. And I think I'll keep helping them in that way as long as I can, or as long as it feels right or appropriate. But that's I my heart mourns over the lack of true help that is being manifested in lives. Help is in the will of God, and the will of God is always present. It's always there. And to love his will, and to pray, thy will be done in my earth, in the earth, in every part of the earth that I live in and touch, everything that I can touch, your will be done. Not my will, Father, but yours is the way to find true help. So, I think maybe I'm done.